Thank you, Peter, and thank you for the opportunity. When you talk about water, you realise that it becomes a bit of a religion with most people. So I tend to try and take the emotion out of it and look at what we're facing. Interesting to see our presentation from our keynote speaker in the sense that we are preparing a plan. Problem with that is everybody else has their plan already and some of them are off and running. And in particular, as an irrigator here, I see a plan being prepared with essentially the elephant in the kitchen being the Commonwealth Government out there buying water. So we've got a real challenge as communities to get to where we need to get to. As a businessman, I look at this thing understanding, and in particular from Food Bowl Unlimited, of saying this is not about taking what we have at the moment and dividing it. Surely we're much more intelligent than that. And to give you a couple of examples of what we should be looking at and where we should progress. From the region I come from, the GMID, we have an irrigation system established in 1893, run for over 100 years, is now only 70% efficient, at best. In other words, that system is losing, on average, over the last 10 years, 750 gigs, over the last 80 years, 900 gigs of water per year. To put that in context, Melbourne uses in totality 360 gigs. There's a couple of things we know with some certainty. One is that we could build that system up to 90% efficiency if everything went well. But 85% efficiency, another 425 gigs that we can bring back into our system. So the group that I represent are very much encouraging governments, let's get what we have right now and then look at what there is to share. That's one example, that's one irrigation district, and unfortunately it is not unique. The second thing that we know, and again I'll use the region that I come from, is how we use water on farm. Some of us got very good at it. I come from horticulture. If I go back 20 years ago or 30 years ago, I used to use 7.5 megalitres to grow 28 tonne of fruit. Our systems now are using 4.5 megalitres to grow 65 tonne of fruit. Now granted, horticulture is the leading light in this. But if you look at the GMID, 93% of our water is used to grow grass. Totally inefficiently. It's flood irrigation, and it's flood irrigation without an adequate system to give it to it. The Department of Ag estimates, and I think they've undershot, that if we have a good system, which we're about to implement, we will at least pick up another 360 gigs just by having water that flows over the grass quick, doesn't evaporate as much, doesn't penetrate the root zone. So there's enormous prospects for us to bring more water into the system in the first place, because all that water is about, it's about balance. And there's three things that we need to be able to balance in this. As a businessman, that'd basically be the index that you'd go back and check on. And the first index has to be food production. As much as we all think that there's any amount of food in the world, if you go and look at the stats, they're fairly frightening. For example, if the present standard of living increases in the world as it has over the past decade, within another 30 years, we'll have to grow 50% more food. That's without anything changing. And then you go to the UN and they say, sorry boys, bit of a problem here, because over a similar period, we're going to have another 3 billion people. So if we don't protect our food base, as a human species, it's going to be an interesting discussion, because it won't be a discussion. If you look at irrigation, if you don't protect irrigation, you won't have your vegetables, you won't have your dairy produce, you won't have your temperate horticulture, right? You won't have much wine, which will mess up a few people's days. So it's very integral in our life, in how we work. So from where I come from, I'm always saying to people, let's have a bit of common sense in this. Let's first off try and find out how we can put more in the bucket before we start this discussion. Let's be unemotive about how we implement this For example, there's a hue and cry about the environment. I live with Mother Nature. I know what she's like, you know, but from the environment, we want to keep everything perfect. If you want to keep everything perfect, the Coorong, for example, let the sea in. That's what Mother Nature did 50 or 60 years ago. A lot of our wetlands in our irrigation system are only supported because of our irrigation system. Take the GMID system out, you won't have the Coorong Lakes, for example. So it's going to be some very hard choices. And I think agriculture should wear its share of those choices, but not wear them in isolation and on their own. So, as I say, it's a matter of how we get that balance. There's one other thing we should be looking at the moment. I know there's a lot of conjecture, and I was sitting next to my colleague this afternoon. We're talking about climate change. And we had different views of it. I wouldn't say they were too far apart. But we both accept that the climate is changing and the human species is influencing it. And if that's the case, the best consensus I get is that climate change is going to be extremes. We're going to have much more periods of wet. They'll be shorter. And we'll have longer periods of dry. What does that tell me as an irrigator? It tells me to go and look at the systems that I operate in. And Eildon's a classic. Right? Eildon, when they built or resurrected it in 1950, they said it would take 6 years to fill. Had a wet year, filled in 6 months. So how can we go and look at our systems now and see how we can make them technologically better than what they are? There's a lot of interesting work around at the moment on evaporation, how we can improve that. How, again, can we bring more into our system? Because if it comes to me fighting the gorilla in the phone box, which is the federal government buying water, I'm not going to be in business. You won't be sitting in places like this eating Australian food, anyhow. You may be eating food from other countries, but that has a limitation. So we need to have that balance. The last balancing point that I'd like to make sure that our plan takes into account is the social aspects of what our irrigation systems and that are supporting at the moment. There's a lot of families involved in this. There's a lot of dollars involved in it. There's a lot of infrastructure that's out there, and it needs to be utilised at the same time because, you know, there's a saying that money isn't everything. And the reason it isn't everything, when somebody says money isn't everything, the response to it is that no, but it runs a very close second to oxygen. So we need to be very careful that the money doesn't destroy our social fabric that we have in this country. So very difficult to commentate specifically on what Les has put up. I wish them well in the plan. And it does need doing. There is no argument. I don't think there's anybody in the room that would think that we don't need to do better than we're doing at the moment. But let's not have it degenerate into who has the most dollars wins this argument. Let's have it not degenerate into sharing the resources we have at the moment. And as business people, and feed is a classic of this. It's what you do. You go and look, how can you make the pot bigger than it is at the moment? And there's any amount of ways we can do that. We're going to have less social disruption, a better environment, and a viable agricultural field after that. So I wish you well in your participation in this debate. All of us are going to be part of it because it's very important to all of us. The key to this is to have us come out of it stronger than where we start. So I thank you for the opportunity. I hope you enjoy the rest of the day.